Works. Good. I'd like to add my welcome to Michelle's, to Tony's, to Dean's, and everybody else who's been welcoming you. It's good to be here this morning. Anybody notice the theme in the songs we sang?
Jesus.
Keep going. No. No. Thank you. Who said heart? Brilliant. There was a common theme about your heart and what was going on in your heart. We're not going to talk about that today. I just thought I'd mention it. We are. I'm going to reread a passage that Michelle read just a from verse 16 on. If you've got your Bibles with you, open them up to 1 John chapter 3 again. We'll look at this short passage. The message this morning is not going to be long. I'm conscious that the children are with us. I would like us all to be able to keep our attention span through this message. So I'll say a couple of words and we'll go home. 1 John 3 from verse 16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. And this is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. The whole letter from John here is speaking to the church, right? Remember that he is speaking to the church. But within the church, he acknowledges that there may be some who believe and some who don't believe. There may be some who think they believe, but they're confused and they don't really know the truth. So John is giving us a way where we can know the truth and know if what we believe is the truth, and know if we really belong to the truth. Now, what separates us from those who are not saved? Do you know the answer to that question? What separates us from those who are unsaved? Is it obedience to the Word of God? Is it love for one another? Is it knowing that we belong to the truth? And if we do know that we are saved, what does God require of us if we know we are saved? With so much has been said about the commands in this short passage of Scripture, how many times was the word commands or commanded mentioned there? I'm not going to ask you that. You can just look at it later and let me know. God's command to us as his people is that we believe that we belong, that we love one another, and that we obey his commands. It's quite simple, really, when you think about it. All God requires of us is obedience. Everything else that we need to obey is in the Word of God. Verse 23 says it quite plainly. This is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Now, there may be some here this morning who don't really know that they belong. You may be here because you think it's the right thing to do. You may be here because your parents have brought you along and you're not sure if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Or you may be here because you think coming to church is good. Hopefully you're here because you love the Lord and that you're being obedient to His commands. I'd like to say something. It's quite personal. I don't want you to take it the wrong way. I love you. Did the sun shine a bit brighter then? The grass a bit greener? Is it warmer in here now? Has anything changed because I told you I loved you? I guess not. Nothing's changed, huh? Trust you, Michael. How do you know that I love you? I just told you. Don't you believe me? Do you? You believe that I love you just by me telling you that I love you? Ah, oh, okay, now you don't. Well, I give to support the church. Isn't that being loving? I come to worship whenever I can. Isn't that loving? I help where I can. Is that enough? Does that show that I love you? What, nothing else to say? What if I was prepared to die for you? What if I was prepared to take a bullet for you? How would you feel then? Okay, that would. If I was prepared to die for you, that would show that I loved you. It's pretty extreme, isn't it? Yeah, that is. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Okay, so, person next to you, to your left, who's that? Do you know them? How about the person to your right? Do you know them? Person in front of you? Person behind you? If they're all true believers, are you prepared to lay down your life for them? Honestly, ask yourself, would you be prepared to die for that person? I have to say, I doubt it. I'm not one to throw my life away. And just because I tell you I love you doesn't necessarily mean I like you. How does that make you feel? Is the Bible commanding us to like one another? No. Is it commanding us to love one another? Yes. How does it command us to love one another? By being willing to give our lives for one another. Fortunately, John goes on to soften that a little bit. And he says, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. I have a son who lives with me. I love my son dearly. He is now 43 years old. I thought he would have left home by 18. He is still with me. I love him, as I said. I do not like much of what he says and does and who he associates with. I don't like the way he talks. I don't like the things he does. I don't like his friends. I don't like the disagreements we have frequently about things. But I love him. And because I love him, I put up with a lot of dislikes. And that should be what it's like within the Church of God. We are not called to like each other. There will be much about the person beside you you don't like. You may not like their ideas. You may not like the way they dress. You may not like the way they work. You may not like the way they talk to you. But that's not what you're called to do. You're not called to like them. You're called to love them. And if the church would realize that the command to love does not mean like, we would be able to do with so much that separates us. We would be able to grow in our love for the Lord Jesus and our love for one another if we would just forget about the dislikes and focus on the fact that we are commanded to love one another. When Shirley and I got married, I promised to love her, I promised to protect her, I promised to support her. That was a commitment I made and what I truly wanted to do. Now, in my tender age of 24 when I got married, I knew I was in love with Shirley, but I had absolutely no idea of how I could show her love. I thought I could just continue being what I was, a young man who enjoyed life. Yes, I had promised to do a lot of things for Shirley, but I didn't know how to love her. My home life as a child was a bad example, so that didn't help me. Trial and error seemed about the only way to go. So we tried and we failed and we tried and we failed, but we continued and eventually we seemed to get our act together. There was no manual to help me, not like we have. As a church, we have the Word of God showing how we can love one another. And it's not in word, it's in deed. It's an act of giving or doing. John gives us the way to truly love here, and we're going to have a look at that briefly now. Verses 16 to 18. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Jesus showed us that in dying for us, he showed us what true love is. And I have to rejoice in the fact that Jesus died for me. I was a sinner. I still am a sinner. But I'm now a sinner saved by grace, by the grace of God. And that when I repented of my sin and believed that Jesus had taken the punishment for my sin, I became saved. And now Jesus Christ, by the power of his Spirit, lives within my heart. Now, the heart is just a muscle. It's a piece of muscle. And it beats regularly, pumping blood throughout the body. Yet so much of our life seems to be surrounding our hearts. We think our hearts tell us what we want to do. We think our hearts let us know when we're doing wrong or right. We think our hearts tell us when we love or don't love. We think our hearts tell us when we hate. Our hearts seem to be central to all that we think and do. Jesus died for me. My heart tells me that. There's a song I've been listening to over the last couple of days by Lauren Daigle. And one of the lines in the song is, "What have I done to deserve love like this? And there has been nothing in my life which deserves the love of God. There has been nothing in my life which would cause Jesus to die for me. There is no goodness within me. Anything I have that is within me comes from God. My hope, my joy, my salvation, my future with God, it is all his work. Nothing is from me." So if we're going to love one another, we need to be prepared to give. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? That's a pretty heavy statement when you think about it. If we are not prepared to give of the wealth that we have, if we are not prepared to support one another in a practical, physical way, then John is saying, how can the love of God be in us? We have a responsibility to love one another in practice by giving out of our abundance, by sharing what we have, by caring for one another, whether you like them or not. I love my son, as I said before. I care for him, but I don't like him. And that's a hard thing for me to say, but it's the truth. I keep on losing my bookmarks, which is good because I don't need that one anymore. Colossians 3, we read these words. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And again in James chapter 2 from verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims they have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. We're hearing the same things from the scripture all the time, aren't we? If you truly love one another, then it is seen in the things that you do for one another. It is not in your words, which are easily said. It is seen in your actions. How do we know what love is? Jesus showed us when he died for us, when we were very unlovely. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How do we know what love is? If we have and don't share, if we see a need and have the ability to help and don't, then we are not loving. And the question God's word asks is, if we don't help when we can, how can we claim to have the love of God within us? So if you call yourself a Christian today, God commands you to love one another with the same love that Christ showed for us. Well, how do we know that we belong to the truth? How do we know that we are God's child? How do we know that we should be loving one another? Continuing in the scripture from verse 19. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive for him anything we ask because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. when we read verse 19, it says, this is how we know that we belong to the truth. We can go back to verse 18 where it says, dear children, do not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. So if we want to know that we belong, it can be seen in our actions towards one another. It can be seen in what our hearts know to be true within us. If your heart condemns you, God knows what's in your heart. He knows what you're thinking. There is nothing we can hide from God. Our hearts will tell us where we are, whether you're right with God or whether you're not right with God. Those sitting beside you may not know what you're thinking in your heart, but God knows. He knows everything about us. There is nothing we can hide from him. Now, our hearts will either condemn us or confirm us. And if we're following God, then our hearts are at peace. So you need to ask yourself a question this morning. Is my heart at peace with God? Am I confident in my relationship with the Lord? Am I confident in the way I'm living my life? Is my heart at peace with God? That we belong or not is seen as in our action or inaction towards one another, whether we're loving or unloving. Our hearts are very important in our walk with the Lord. We need to be searching our hearts on a daily basis. We need to be acknowledging our sins before God, asking his forgiveness, seeking his guidance, and looking for opportunities when we can show true love to one another. Okay, if we know how we should be loving, if we know that we belong to God as one of his children, how do we then show that we know these things? And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. So often, we ignore the guidance of the Spirit. We think we know what we're doing, but we fail miserably. But the Spirit of God is our guide. He tells our hearts what we should be doing. 1 Peter 4, verses 7 to 11 says this: the end of all things is near. Therefore be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. How do we show that we know that God loves us and that we are his? Well, we can live a life of faith, confident in God and his word. We can follow our hearts, which will tell us the truth. And we can do that confidently because the Spirit of God resides in our hearts. We can pray with confidence because we know we will receive answers. Yes, no, or maybe, or wait. We believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Saviour, and we tell it to others with confidence because we know it's the truth. We love to be in the fellowship, and we love the fellowship. How do we show that we know the truth? We keep God's commands. They're not suggestions. They're not, this is what you should maybe be doing. They are commands. And we follow the Spirit's lead and live in the Spirit's power. How do we show that we know we are loved by God and that we love the fellowship? We walk confidently with our God, knowing that He is the one who's in control. He has the power. He is the one who has redeemed us. He is the one who sustains us. He is the one who holds this whole world together. We need to be walking confidently with God, knowing that He loves us. And we seek to obey His commands in the power of His Spirit. I told you it was going to be a brief word this morning. There are three words I want you to take hold of. Believe, love, and obey. Believe in Jesus as your Saviour and Lord. Believe that God knows your heart. Believe in the indwelling of His Holy Spirit. Love as Jesus loved, willing to give your life for the brethren. And also willing to give from the abundance of your possessions and yourselves. And obey God's commands. And the one command we're focusing on today is to believe in Jesus and to love one another. This is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. Let's pray. Father, Your word is very clear. And we have to confess that we have not obeyed it as we ought. There have been many instances when we have failed to love the fellowship of God, when we have failed to acknowledge what our hearts know to be true, when we have failed Your commands. And we seek Your forgiveness for our failures, Father, and pray that Your Spirit would strengthen us, enable us to show the true love which is required of us. Enable us to know the truth that we are dearly loved children of God, that we are provided for, sustained, and that we have an eternity promised to us. And may that embolden us and strengthen us and enable us to obey Your commands, because this is truly the desires of our heart. We pray this in Jesus' name.